You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is the advancement of the kingdom.
And let them have dominion.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Look at Christianity today. Tell me what you see. Mary John is in the house.
Carnality is the order of the day. Holiness is gone. There's a veil in our eyes. The name's still removed. And let the Spirit of God in our lives. Let him have his way and express himself again. Let him have his way and express himself again. Let's go back to the basis of life.
The basis of life.
We need to know that gave them great results. Let's get back and dig those wells. And we dig those wells. The wells of our fathers. The time to dig is now. Look at Christianity today. Tell me what you see. With John is in the house. Carnality is the order of the day. Holiness is gone. There's a veil in our eyes. The need to remove. And let the Spirit of God in our lives. Let him have his way and express himself again. Let him have his way and express himself again. Let's go back. We need to know what our fathers did that gave them a great result. And did those wells, the wells of our fathers, the time to dig is now, 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 the time to dig is now.
One more time, let's go back.
Let's go back to the basis of life.
To the basis of life.
We need to know that gave them great result. Let's step back and dig those wells. And redeem those wells.
Redeem those wells.
The wells of our fathers.
The wells of our fathers.
The time to dig is now.
The time to dig is now.
The time to dig is now. The time to dig is now.
The time to dig is now.
The time to dig is now. The time to dig is now. The time to dig is now.
Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The year we are stepping into is the seventh year, is the year of release. And one of the major things God does in the year of release and in the year of Jubilee is destroying financial captivity. The seventh year, this coming year, is the year of rest. And financial rest is one of the things that God is extending to his people. But that's not the only one. He's extending rest in every aspect of your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't want any yoke on your life. He wants you free, spirit, soul, and body. I want to talk to you a little on what I call the whole world is waiting for you. Say it. Say it to your friend, the whole world is waiting for you. Just before I do that, Acts chapter 10, look at it. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice that, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. I want you to see what he did with the anointing. He went about doing good. Then the part B, he went about healing them that were oppressed of the devil. Setting people free from prison. You know, you can't just walk up to Enugu prisoner and declare prisoners free. You have to have authority and power to be able to do that. The attorney general can do it. The governor can grant some prisoners amnesty. The president can do that. You have to be in power to be able to do that. So, we collect anointing. If you walk into prison and just release people, you too will be arrested and put there. But if the man that is authorized walks in and releases them, they are released. That's why the scripture said, if the Son of God shall make you free, then you are what? Then the question will be, how many here are God's sons? A few hands. How many are God's sons? Put down your hand. How many are God's children? That's where the confusion is. We don't know which ones are children and which ones are sons. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to help us today. The faith movement has come to a close. There is a new move of God that has kicked off on earth right now. Many people are not aware of it. Some people join the move when it's ending. Many in the church. We are now in the age of the kingdom. What God is doing now is translating on earth literally what he is doing in heaven. This is the age of transforming societies, transforming nations, transforming communities, transforming it so much that the quality of life there will begin to reflect what we dream about in the glory to come. According to the dream of the Father, he said that the whole earth will be filled with his glory as the water covers the sea. This is the time of whole nations getting saved. This is the time of whole cities getting saved. The patriarchs of the faith used to go for revival. Their own meetings are not 3 days meeting or 6 days. Sometimes they stay 6 months in one place. By the time they are leaving, the whole community is discipled. Paul said in 2 years, the whole Asia heard the gospel. I've been asking God, what is the technology behind this? What is wrong with us? You see, that's why we sang that song. Look at Christianity today. Tell me what you see. Religion is in the house.
Carnality is the order of the day.
Carnality. They are born again, but they are children. They are trapped in the stage of babyhood. Carnality is the order of the day.
Holiness is gone.
Holiness is gone.
There's a veil in our eyes.
There's a veil in the eyes of the people.
That needs to be removed.
That needs to be removed.
And let the Spirit of God in our lives, let him have his way and express himself again.
Let the Spirit of God that is already in our life, let him have his way. Let him have his way and express himself again. Then he said, let's go back to the basis of life.
We need to know what our fathers did that gave them great results.
We need to know what our fathers did that gave them what? Great results. Let's go back to the basis of life.
We need to know what our fathers did that gave them great results. Let's get back and redig those wells.
We need to go back and redig those wells. The wells of our fathers.
The time to dig is now.
Let's sing it one more time.
Let's go back to the basis of life. We need to know what our fathers did that gave them great results. Let's get back and redig those wells. The wells of our fathers. The time to dig is now.
Why don't you lift your hands? Ask the Holy Ghost for the same unction that functioned through Peter. It's made Wiggles word to rest upon you today. I just heard that there are about 12 of you that want the grace to start flowing, the miracle. Lift your hands, join your hands. You can have it. You can have it. Those hungry ones, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Touch them now, I pray. Ask him to put that same unction. That same unction. All the mantles of the past are falling back on earth. I saw in the spirit, in the heavens, the wardrobe rooms where the mantles of generals that have retired from the earth are being emptied. They are being dropped back on earth. They are being dropped back. The unction for raising the dead. The unction for subduing a whole community, a whole nation. They are at an unction for subduing nations. There are unctions for dominion. There are unctions for subduing wealth. There are unctions for subduing governments. There are unctions for doing terrific things. Let's ask God for a fresh baptism. Visit us again. What you need is just vessels to express yourself. You are the mystery behind the work. Jesus said, it's not I, it's the Father in me doing the work. And now we can say it's not us, it's Christ in us, it's the Holy Ghost. What you need is vessels. Find for yourself vessels here today. And we'll begin to answer to the cries of our society, the cries of Eastern Nigeria, the cries of this nation, the cries of this continent. Agents of deliverance, saviors, emancipators, restorers, rebuilders. Not only of human lives and families, but of nations. Thank you, Lord. I lay all down again. Gently, gently. I want it to be a prayer. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. Nothing else can do. No one else could do. Nothing else can take your place. To hear you say that I'm afraid. Help me find my way. Oh, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you and me. Help me, Lord. Yeah. Oh. Help me know you. if we are going to get the presence of God flow through the church like the way it should, the first place we have to correct things is in our prayer life. The purpose of prayer, the number one purpose of prayer, is not killing people, killing enemies, or getting things from God. If you study the Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not start by "give us anything." The number one purpose of prayer is God discovery. Moses says, "Show me your glory. Show me your ways." We need to change. If you don't change what you pray for, you can't change what you get. Your life today is accumulation. The first place we have failed in the church in Nigeria is in so-called, in what we call prayer. If you ask people, they think what we need is more prayer. It will be needed if it's the right one. God discovery. Those men that carried this glory were men that were God's chasers. This one thing have I desired, this will I pursue all the days of my life, that I might dwell in your tabernacle, inquiring for your temple. When we get back the heart of God's chaser, the heart of true worship, which is not looking for things, looking for what God has in his heart, looking for how he will help you kill enemies, but seeking his face, we will have this level of carnality in the church. We have seen men transformed. And the second purpose of prayer is discovering his will. Because prayer on earth has not started until you first of all know what the will of God is. There is praying from earth to heaven. There is praying from heaven to earth. There is a big difference between them. Jesus prayed most of the time from heaven to earth. That's why he takes the position when he comes out the morning. He just speaks to things. He has spent time finding out the will of the Father. So he can't speak a word and heaven will not confirm it, because whatever he's decreeing is already in line. Prayer is that tool with which we probe the heart of omnipotence, the heart of omniscience, to find out what is in his heart. So that aspect of prayer is where we conceive. It's conception. You see, the second purpose of prayer, apart from knowing God, prayer opening the veil to get us to know him. And then the more we know him, the more we are like him. The more we are transformed into his image. The second part is where we conceive his will. And we come out on earth pregnant with something that is not from us. Not a bastard, not an Ishmael, but a pregnancy that actually came from above. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. If that ministry is born of God, if the business is born of God, if the idea is born of God, if the prophecy too is born of God, we now preach messages that are not born of the Spirit. He said, "Who has stood in my counsel? Who has heard my word?" The prophet that has a dream, let him tell his dream. The one that has my word, let him tell my word. What is chaff compared to the real thing? For my word is like hammer that breaks in pieces, by the fire that burns and consumes. He said, "The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes up the cedars of Lebanon." I've sat under those chaffy messages. I've shot under the piercing sword of God's word. And you know, this man knows what it means to pray. You don't conceive something where you are killing your enemies. No. You conceive it when you are seeking his will. When you are seeking, "Teach me your ways." A second prayer of a world changer. First, show me your glory. Second, teach me your ways. Before we get to kill Pharaoh, or not kill Pharaoh, is there, there is deliverance from the evil one. There is give us this day our daily bread. But that's the last two purposes of prayer, the sixth and the seventh. Your needs and demons are the last. So you get to many Pentecostal circles. Once service open, they have started binding. Hey, what is the problem? Do you know that Satan doesn't have to be bound to depart? There is a law of displacement. You bring in light, darkness clears. So all we have to do, you know, when you speak to mountain, God said it will move. You have faith, you move mountain. But when God appears, mountain melts. We are not comfortable with church without God. Church with brethren, church with building, church with all kinds of programs. And God absent. The owner of the house, the father of the house, absent, kept outside his house, knocking at the gate and security men won't allow him. And the children are throwing parties with their friends. And the noise is so much that they can't even hear the voice of their father anymore. If we are going to get it right, we have to get it right in prayer. We have to get back the essence of true prayer. There's a lot of praying amiss. A lot of prayer that is to consume on human lust. What is your heart crying for? Can't you see that there's been a seduction of genuine Christianity in Nigeria? That the Christianity now is a self-based Christianity. It's a self-driven Christianity. The new God in the church now is self. So God has been converted to a tool for meeting needs. We now come to God for us. We don't come to God for him anymore. How will you feel if your wife, I now discover that this woman came to me for my money. Came to me. Or like a woman discovered that this man is just after your body. He has just collected sex and all. He doesn't care about you. How will you feel if you are God? Yet this is supposed to be a marriage. Christ, the church is a bride. Is somebody's bride. He's created to give him pleasure. Then he's created to be his partner. To know what is in his mind and help him bring it to earth. The father said to him, sit down till. Because you have a bride on earth. That will keep this work going from where you stopped it. He has been seduced. Because the scripture warns that in the last days men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. We now come to church. And that's what pastors are marketing. Come to Jesus, you have baby. So they come. And we have a lot of false conversion in the church. How you will know is when there is a serious thing, kingdom matters, you disappear. You will see them. Call for prayer. If you want them to pray, you have to put babies or whatever to get them to come to night vigil. They say, we want to pray for our nation. Say, we want to pray. The man of God that is ministering to them is sick. We want to pray for them. You see a few. It happened in the ministry of Jesus that the multitudes that are attracted by bread and fishes and miracles are not the real thing, my friends. I used to ask God, I said, which Samaria did Philip go to shake? I thought you have already collected Samaria with the woman. He said, multitude. Is that what you are telling me? He said, if you build your church on this multitude thing, miracle-based people, that's like building a house with stubble, with sand, without cement or stone. It's a place for miracles. It's just to get the attention of the people. It's kingdom advertisement. That's all. And then if you make commitment to Christ, you get born into his family. Can I get three gentlemen? Come on, three of you. Now, two of you on black can come. Then I need somebody on white, you know. But a guy. Just come up, come up. Stand on that end, stand there. Now, stand on this end. Come on, somebody on white in the middle. This is the problem of today's Christianity. You can sit down. The Pentecostal revival has gone 100 years. April this year, Azusa Street completed 100 years. He has gone full cycle. Amazingly too, he has brought more people into the kingdom than all the other ones, you know, since Pentecost. He has brought more into the kingdom. But the problem is, it lacks the quality of, is failing to produce the quality of Christians that those other ones produce. Christians are you tired at the stake. You are burning them. They are singing as they are going. You just set fire on them. This one, let them just give God a list. And 1 month pass, it has not happened. We're not talking about persecution, no. Nobody's killing them. Just that they want a car or a husband. Because that's what the church advertises. And then after catching the fish, we're still advertising the same thing. When you go to Egypt to bring people out of Egypt, you go with the rod like Moses. That's where you need. The supernatural must be there. Those 10 signs. Pharaoh is not the type of person that hears with normal ear. He has to be subdued by the power of God. When you go to Egypt, there's a message you go with. It's a message of redemption. You have to speak to Pharaoh to let the people go. Then there's a message you preach to the people that needs to go. You tell them that the God of their fathers cares about them. He loves them. You see the kind of thing I was preaching in the study. That message you tell people who need to come out. How you explain the heart of God, what God, the plan of redemption, and how that he wants to bring them out. How he slew his son and all that. It's called the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we should take to those out there The message of the love of God, the message of the grace of God, the message of the cross, how he died for us. The first part of the cross, because the cross has two sides. The first part is Jesus dying, because the second part is you dying. But you don't tell them about their dying yet. Tell them about how he had died. Tell them all the benefits that come with it. They can be healed. And take that rod, which is his name, and begin to do signs. Once they see it, they are going to turn to Christ. That is the first job of the church, which is to go out there and preach the gospel and bring people out of the Egypt of this world. And Jesus said that preaching will be confirmed with signs and wonders. But when you bring people out of Egypt, you have to take them to a place called Sinai. When Moses brought them to Sinai, in the Old Testament, it is Sinai you take them. In the New Testament, it is Zion. Moses took them to that mountain that can be touched, that shook with fire. Today, we come to Mount Zion. That's where you meet the church. See Egypt here? You bring them out. What you preach here is different from what you preach in Sinai. What you preach here is grace, the love of God, the message of redemption, the death of Christ on the cross. When you bring them here, the message changed. God told Moses, come up. What you've been preaching in Egypt, I'm about to change. Come to the top of the mountain. He climbed up. He said, now, take this. This thing you see here. He said, first of all, before you preach, I want to teach you how to preach for now. You're no more preaching to those who are lost. You are preaching to those who have come out of Egypt. What you now teach them now must change. He said, let me preach them while you listen. He came down and said, I am the Lord God of your fathers that brought you out of Egypt. Now hear the word of the Lord. God Almighty doing the preaching. You know, he's a great preacher. He said, thou shalt not have any other God beside me. He started telling them things that are no more acceptable. Hey, he started telling them things, responsibilities. That now what he's doing here with them is a covenant. And that day, blood was shed and the book was sprinkled at the foot of that Mount Sinai. And the people and God got married. And the people and God entered into a covenant relationship. And God began to show them that in a covenant there are responsibilities. When we go to them in Egypt, we tell them, you don't have to do anything. Every work has been done. Everything has been finished. There's no more work. Come and receive what has been done for you. When you finally bring them to Zion, that is church, the job of church. You have to let them know there's work to be done. There are responsibilities in the covenant. Marriage is different from boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. There's no commitment there. But in marriage, when I finish this program, this lady follows me. She doesn't follow her father. Doesn't follow her friend. He follows me. There are commitments. There are things that are no more acceptable. There are values. There are principles to be imbibed. So what is the problem? Why are we still at the baby church level? We kept preaching to people that are out. What we are preaching to those that are outside. So what happened? You keep telling them, it doesn't matter what you do, no matter what you do. And after hanging in church for a year or two, hearing, it doesn't matter what you do, you say, okay. They start doing it again. They make all the idols, make all the things, and start doing it. God now wrote those words on tables of stone and gave to Moses. That day, what is called the Great Commission, according to the Old Testament, began. We are not the first to be given the Great Commission. The second Great Commission came on the day of Pentecost. That's the day the oppression, the full Great Commission started. That's the day the church was born. But before then, God had taken a group of people for himself out of Egypt. But that day, like on Mount Sinai, when the Holy Ghost came, the fire of God descended and fell on that mountain on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost also sealed these witnesses. And that day, the commission, the sounding of the trumpet and the message of the gospel to the nation started. Moses brought them the Ten Commandments and all those laws. Why do you have to teach them right here? Because these people's destiny is not Sinai. they are not to stay in Sinai. Their destiny is to take that glory they've seen in Sinai and go and conquer Canaan. This is their destiny. This is their destiny. They have giants to conquer. They will not conquer it with sin. They have things they have to be taught now that will prepare them to subdue this nation, harness the wealth in it, possess it, occupy it, and begin to govern it. You will not give them those baby foods and produce people who can subdue nations. It's the same way. Church is not our destination. Church is the middleman in God's program. And that the job of church is to train people, equip people to be released back into society, to go and possess one sphere of life or the other for God. Men who can harness nations, men who can subdue cities, men who can transform communities, men who can go back like Moses and set others free. Remember that Moses came to Sinai. That's where he got his commission. He had an encounter with God. And after that, God sent him to a people in bondage to go and bring them out. Everybody God told Moses to bring out, he said, bring them to Sinai so that they will get their own commission, get their own training, get their own transformation, and then to be released back to go, because there are still many. There are nations that are trapped there. Remember that the covenant God gave to Abraham was that through thee all the nations of the earth shall be what? And that's why he brought his children out of Egypt. To begin to fulfill that covenant that he gave to the fathers of using them to emancipate the nations. The heart of God is out there in society, not in church. But his heart is in church because the church is his inheritance, his treasure. In those days, he used to call the children of Israel his inheritance. The church is his inheritance, and that's where he gets the workforce for dealing with the nations. So according to God, society is our parish. Not the church. Church is the training center for those who will go and emancipate society. Oh God. Our mandate is in the nations. The Great Commission is about the nations, cities, communities, continents. God is taking nations and is sharing them and handing them to men. The way Satan took over this whole planet from Adam, took all human beings in it, and God commissioned Christ, like he commissioned Moses, to go and repossess it from the enemy. That's how everyone that have received Christ is being commissioned to go into one city, one community, one nation, one aspect of society or the other to possess it back. So this new God were built around selfishness that has crippled the whole church. Just a few understand what is going on. This God of self that's being worshipped around the whole place now. And the glory of Zion is trapped in the flesh. Trapped in that biblical cocoon. And God is not able to experience. Church has become the burial ground of omnipotence. God has just become weak all of a sudden. Can't do anything anymore. Jesus came into your life to become a woman, to become a weakling. The same Jesus that came into your life came inside Peter's life. In Peter, his shadow was healing the sick. In your life, he has become a weakling that witches are biting every night. And he's running around now looking for who will deliver him. Where in Acts of Apostles did you see the saints running around for deliverance? It's the teaching that brought the problem. There is something wrong. There's something wrong. The man that is conducting the deliverance on you, which Christ did he receive? Did he receive a different Christ? Deliverance is for babies, for those who just came out of Egypt. Healing is for babies. You see all this healing miracle? We make a big deal out of it. This is baby food. Deliverance is baby ministry. It's milk ministry. For sons, health is their inheritance. Is a healing a children's bread? Children. There's a big difference between children of God and sons of God. Tell your friend the nations are waiting for you. Tell him the whole world is waiting for you.
Africa. It's time for us to wake up. When the mandate came on Europe, they did their part. They traveled across the nations, harnessing the nations. When the mandate came up on US, they've done their part. Let's not kill heaven's dream. Let's not kill heaven's dream. Because all we can see is us and our stomach. Healing is children's bread. Deliverance, children's bread. God did not plan for his children to be living from healing to healing. He wants them to grow out of that stage and live in health. When you listen to the old covenant, he told them, when they came out of Egypt, the covenant was, I'm the Lord that healed thee. That's the first thing. On their way, at the waters of Marah, Moses brought them, I'm the Lord that healed thee. They needed healing. Later, as Moses was taking them, he said, now, no, the thing has changed. I'm going to take away from the midst of thee every sickness. All those things that you hear on the Egyptian will never come on you. None shall cast her young. There will be none barren in your land. That is now your heritage. And I stand here to testify that is real. But I've seen others who are living it, like Papa Hagen, 60-something years in ministry. Before you add all the years in, he became a Christian. Not even a headache. You see people like Smith Wigglesworth. One particular man, about 90-something, was showing his own. He said that his own is not only that he walked in health. He said there is not even a hole in my teeth. 90-something. And we have these children thing because pastors enjoy people coming so that he can lay hands on them and know that I'm feel big that you're a man of God. Who is to be laying hands? The people we need to lay hands on are in society. He said, go ye into the world. That's where this thing is. And as you go, this sign shall follow. And now we have church filled with sick people. Filled with demons. You've been manifesting for the past 3 years. Each time, hey, when will you move from deliverance to freedom? When will you move from prayer line to power line? When will you start drawing God to distribute his inheritance to the nations? Pastors that will not adjust to catch God's dream in this hour will be left behind. It has happened in all the other move of God. You might have that your small church and just be doing church. Church will become your burial ground. God is tired of church the way we know it now. He wants an army that can go and harness the nations. That means the way you train a fighting force is the way we need to train today's church. They have to be equipped and armed. Two kinds of leaders. You have Saul, you have David. Under Saul's leadership, 1 Samuel chapter 13, only two people were armed, only Saul and Jonathan. He has an army, large army. Not one person armed, not even a sword, not even a bow, not even. And now the day they confronted the enemy, the Philistines, half of his army joined the enemy because that's what is happening in the church. Some are falling back from Pentecostals to our court. So they were telling me something, an elder, some brethren joined him in his car. After service on Sunday morning, this one is a few weeks ago, you know, after service Sunday morning. And he put hands in his, because, you know, he felt that he was dying. He put hands in his, whatever, and brought out his odesh and put on his chest. After service, right in front of church, in his car, put on his chest. I said, drive me to my house. And the whole brethren, you see, half of Saul's army crossed over to the Philistines. Jonathan saw what was happening. He felt so bad. Now took his armor bearer. Just one man with God is the majority, my friend. Took his armor bearer and crossed over. And God wrought such a great deliverance and discomfited the armies of the Philistines. And Saul almost killed him. Because you see, he doesn't want, that type of leadership doesn't want anybody armed and trained. So, he wants Jonathan eliminated. Somewhere in his leadership again, another young man rose from the back of the wilderness who had been practicing. God has been training and he came over. David by name. That guy kills the Goliath and kills the Philistine. Saul, from that day, wanted him eliminated. We have this Saul leadership all over the place. Look at David. When you look at the army of David, David only killed one giant, but so many giants died. Why? He had the people equipped. He had the people trained. He had the people armed and dangerous. It wasn't long. A group of nobodies that came and joined him became mighty warriors and giant killers all over the place. And the Bible said the army of David grew and became like the army of the Lord. So if God has a battle to take care of on earth, he can rely on David. He can delegate it. Like what Idahosa did. An occult man came to challenge Christianity in Benin. What leader of whether the whole West African or the whole African Council of Witches. And they wanted to hold a meeting, a conference in Benin. And he was on TV talking about how, all the things that witchcraft can do. Papa went open on air, entire. It was broadcast to the nation to challenge him. So he told the man, the meeting is cancelled. These are sons. These ones. These are what people like. That's what he calls sons. Son children. You have called for. Hey, I made a mistake, Pastor. I challenged one man. And the man is dangerous. Pastor, please, gather people to do night vigil for me before I die. When you become a son, you become a lion like your father. Lions are flesh eaters. We eat demons the way lions eat those animals in the bush. You know, eagles feast on snakes. Eh? Meanwhile, snakes eat a number of other. They eat rats, they eat other. Don't remain a rat. Oh. They are demons in society. But we, you see, we are seated at the heavenly place far above. From there, we descend and the ego believers. That's what we need to start raising in these last days. Do your hand like this. Stretch your hand. It's time to fly, my friend. The nations are waiting. It's time to fly. It's time to soar up like, mount up with wings like the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord. That's why we have to regain that place of the secret place. That ministry of seeking his face. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength like the eagle. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not faint. Can somebody say amen? So people like that, you don't talk about witches around them. We eat them. If you jam us in the highways where we are flying, you won't fly that way again for the rest of your life. They didn't say they wait in the night to fly. We fly here all the times. What do you think we do when we worship? What do you think is prayer? What do you think is worship? It's taking your place at the right hand of the heavenly places on high. And you can decide this night no meeting holds in this community. No witchcraft operation in this area. No witch can cross these airwaves. In the name of Jesus. We didn't come to earth to beg. We are governors restored back on this planet to manage God's house. To manage God's planet. Governors and kings, they rule by decrees. You issue an edict. It becomes a law. Any witch that flies, let him be cut down by fire. And swords will be flying in the air. Even flies have enough sense to know when the stove is hot. They don't put your head there. Eh? You can throw party on cold ones. Even mad people know when a trailer is coming on speed. Mad people, they clear. Or be cleared. Say it with me, Satan. Clear. Or be cleared. The mandate you are giving is to clear him. Cast out. He didn't say beg him. He didn't say negotiate with him. He said what? An army is what God is looking for. God bless. He said he went about doing good. Everyone say doing good. Yes. Went about doing good. That the church needs to recover that first part. Then second part, healing all the way. How many of you are healing the sick? See the few hands. How many of you are going about doing good? More hands, but see few hands. Even the more hands I don't know what you mean by that. When last did you help somebody in church who doesn't have a job get a job? If you are here, you don't have a job, stand. But you want to walk, come over here. I'm going to pray for you. You will get a job. You see the problem in church. See today's church. See, and if we just teach giving and tithing, it's not enough. It's half of the message. The other things. We're looking for people, workers, those who want to work, and earn salaries. We're going to pray for business people at their time. I'm going to call them. We're looking for those who want to work, who want to be employed and paid. If you're a student, go. I even think if you're a copper, what you need is to go and serve. Leave. Go and serve. Go and do your youth service. As you just left school now, you need to go and do your youth service. Those who want, they give you a job now. You want to do work. Amen. How many of you attended one form of school or training or the other? Let me see your hand. Of course, if you didn't, you know the kind of job, you know. But God will have mercy on you. Hallelujah. This is what the church should be doing. If we can't solve social problems, then we have canceled our reason for existing. The church exists for the world. And we seek to solve all the problems in it, including the political problems. Now, if you have a business, you own a company or whatever, stand on your feet. You own a company or a business, or you work in anywhere where, you know, you own something that you do, stand on your feet. Can you see, compared to those looking for, look at the few people standing. You own something, you're doing a business, a company, anything, stand on your feet. Now, come out here on this side. I'm going to pray for you. You will see. You will see the kind of boom that will hit your business. You will see. Come on this side. A little. What will it look like if in Enugu State, we practice the first value of the kingdom, which is love. And we practice it. You know what will happen to this state? It will become heaven. Nobody wants to kill another. Armed robbery can stop. How many of you want us to create a state where there is no armed robber, no prostitute, no nothing? How many of you would like to see it? That is the mandate God has given us now. It's not about church. Pastors are still busy with church. What God is telling us to do now is to have a whole city, a whole state discipled. Remove all the vices in it. Remove all the evils in it. Teach them the kingdom of God and they live their life that way. For example, the first value of the kingdom of God is love. And love, according to God, is not feeling. It's not telling a person, I love you. It is social responsibility. It's caring for your neighbor. The first question asked in the Bible is, Adam, where are you? That is about the relationship between God and man. Because when sin came, that's the first thing he affected. The second question asked in the Bible is, Cain, where is your brother? On these two, that one is about your relationship with your fellow men. On these two questions, God asked those two questions. On those two questions, he built what he called the Ten Commandments, built the teachings of the New Testament. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is all the whole duty of man. You are looking for a job. Come here. I've already given you employment. Come here. He's settled. This is what God wants us to be doing. Going about what? Doing good. Is this not what the church exists for? What have we turned church to? What have we turned Christianity to? What have we turned it to? When I'm building a group of selfish people, can't you see? All these people that EFCC pursuing, Christian. So if we are raising armed robbers, prostitutes from church. There is something wrong with what we are preaching. There is something wrong. We have touched the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There is something that has gone wrong. It's not this thing. We need to get back the message the reformers preached. Was it not the missionaries that came here and built schools, built orphanages, built Red Cross, built everything? They abandoned most of their own whatever in order to go and help develop society. I'm not talking about what the government of United Kingdom and other did to Africa. I'm talking about the missionaries. I took all our pastors to Badagry, where the first church was. You see the first school in Nigeria. You see the first bank. You see the first government had Lord Lugard, where he was, the first Asoro. You see what church brought to us. That's what we need back. We need to recover that message. That's what we are singing in that song. We need to recover it. Listen, we have more people than those who need job. You're going to come here and interview them. And give at least one person job. If you can give three, give three. When you finish it, I'm going to speak a simple word. You will see what 2007 will do for you. And anywhere you know any scripture about the year of release, go and read it. That year, first of all, talks about helping your brothers that I need it. It's something about the year of Jubilee. Helping your brothers that I need. He said, after that, he said, the heavens will open over you. When Daniel was appointed, promoted by the king, the first thing he did was to recommend the three brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for promotion, and they were all made ministers in the land. That's the way he should. He said, do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. We need to recover the thing. This is what we go into politics, is to go and make money. Can you imagine getting power? How much good you can use it to do? Can you imagine? You're going to come here, interview the people, find people who can offer the kind of services you need in your company. You must employ at least one person before I pray for you. Then you will know if God doesn't hear prayer. It's our selfishness that has killed answers to prayer. He said, you pray amiss. Everything is for me. Me, me, me. That you might consume it on your loss. Seek ye first his kingdom. His kingdom is about changing society. It's about changing other people's life. It's about redeeming the nation out of Satan's bondage. We have to declare war on joblessness. We have to declare war on poverty in the church. Not the kind of prosperity that prospers only the pastor. It's the kind of prosperity, if it's taught right, it will empower all of God's people. Come and do it. Come and do it. Talk to people. You can take two people, one, talk to them. That's how it should be. You come to church on Sunday, you leave with job. You come sick, you leave healed. That's the way it should be. All the doctors and nurses and pharmacists in church, you come together, you start treating people. Even Saturdays, you create clean clinic in the society and then treat everyone that is sick. The ones that don't have money, treat them. And the work you are getting is not where you are stopping. That's just the start. From there now, God is going to give you the things that he has promised you. But you need to be earning money. Don't sit down in church. Say, I've sowed seed. God, where will my blessing be? Your blessing will come through something. You have to do something. You have to find something to do. I helped two ladies get job. Very good job. Next thing, the guy calls me. He said, Pastor, I've never seen this kind of thing. You need to see how they were crying.
I graduated for the past 5 years. I've been roaming around the streets of Lagos. Pastor, please. I don't know what I did to God. Why he wouldn't remember me?
I called somebody. I said, give them job. He said, they don't. I said, train them. Give them the job. Train them first. First, let come in. Then they will come to work. And carry Bible and be praying on their master's time. When you steal time, then you a proper thief. The one that even steal money is better than you. In case you don't know, anybody that is stealing time is stealing money. In case you don't know. And you're stealing other things. Because you may steal a major opportunity from that company. Go there and sit down. I called him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying for my boss. I said, praying for what? Pray for the man when you get home. Pray for him when you wake up early in the morning. During break, use that to pray for him. And I told the guy before her, I said, steal time again and be sacked. Because God is going to give you your own business. That's the truth. He's going to give you your own. And when you have some other people who now work for you, you will see how it feels. You will understand how it feels. You buy gem today, somebody burns it tomorrow. You buy a computer today, it's blown tomorrow. AC that should be off at a particular time, you keep it on and go home. They come in the morning, the company has caught fire. A believer. We need a reformation in the church. We're talking about national reformation. The first is church reformation. Amen. Okay, let's lift our hands. Both those giving job and those receiving job. Father, I pray that Jubilee be declared for everyone here. Declare for the ones giving the empowerment. Declare for the ones receiving the empowerment. For these ones, the realm of debt, realm of lack, the realm of struggles financially, we bring it to an end on their behalf. From getting that job, you're going to empower them further till they become business owners, owners of their own corporations, and leaders in their own right in the marketplace. But these ones that are given the jobs, this is what you asked me to declare over them, and I declare it now. Their businesses, their companies are going to explode in this year that they are entering into. For some of them, they will not even wait till the year 2007. Explosion will hit them immediately because of your divine intervention. I release contracts. I release jobs. I release major openings for you. I release further financing to expand our business. We release creative ideas upon you, upon the business, so that you can go to the next level. And that business will become a mighty tree that God will use to provide shelter to many. We decree it today, and so shall it be. In Jesus' name. Those of you who have been struggling in your business, is declared that struggles have come to an end. As you make that business a kingdom business, one, for funding the gospel. Two, for also creating employment in the land. Three, for helping the weak and the poor in the church. Apart from the profit you want to make, if you create all these other purposes and add to it, the growth and the increase of that business will know no end. What you're going to see is constant increase, constant expression. It's not this one that will rise today and fall tomorrow. God bless you.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.